You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, June 10th, 2024. This is Grandpa Dan streaming at RadioAlbion.com. We're already kicking off another week. Time just keeps flying by. I appreciate you tuning in this week to start off your work week. As always, I remind you we have our Sven Longshank support links. I'm looking forward to the day I finally get to take those down and Sven is released. Continuing to have my fingers crossed that maybe that will perhaps be happening sometime fairly soon. But until then, we do have these links up. I encourage you to continue dropping postcards, notes, letters, emails, whatever. I use the email service. It works really, really well. And the bonus to that is very cheap. It costs like, if you tag it to where he can reply, check the box where he can reply, I think it runs around 68 cents. And that's to send an email and he can reply. And with the email system, there's no limit to how many he can reply. The snail mail, I think it's, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 letters he can send out, and that's all he can send. So something to keep in mind. Regardless, I do appreciate you keeping Sven in mind, and I know he does as well. Well, we do got a story, of course, to start off this week. You know, there's a lot of talk. We've got this increasing global conflict going on. It's just utter insanity in a lot of ways. And one of the things that really strikes me is how these people who are ostensibly, you know, supposedly in charge in Washington, the usual characters, they don't seem, it's just like I always say, people will project their own values, their own self on other people. And this applies to your personal life as well as looking, you know, at other people in the context like we're talking about today. You know, for instance, a liar will always assume you're lying to them. If you're dealing with a person in your life who is a known liar, that person will always assume that you're lying. Same way with a thief. Somebody who's a thief, he's always assuming that somebody is out to steal something from them. They project their own values, their own self, their own flaws or whatever onto other people. They just assume that. Well, I'm a thief, so you must be looking to steal something from me, too. It's a good way to judge character, by the way. If you've got somebody that's like paranoid that, you know, everybody's out to steal from them, that person might watch your stuff around them. Now, these people in Washington, D.C., they're all bullshitters. You know, they come out and say things they don't mean all the time. They lie continuously. And as such, when other people, when other world leaders, other government officials that they're in conflict with come out and make statements, they hand wave it off. I said, well, they don't mean that. They always say that. Now we're having this, you know, now we're having actual conversations in the public domain between Russia and the West about nuclear weapons. Now, yes, you have all these people hand waving and saying, oh, that's never going to happen. But the fact that we're actually having this conversation, that it's actually a topic at all. You remember when all of this started several years back, all the Biden people were saying, oh, no, we're going to be sure this doesn't escalate and get out of hand. But it is observably escalating. Back then, nobody was talking about nuclear weapons. And now we are. Now we are discussing nuclear weapons. And that's an observable reality. And it is escalating. Whether or not it will come to that, I don't know, but the fact that we are seeing this discussion taking place in the public domain, you know, it does mean that it's now on the table. It is being discussed. One of the things I find alarming about that is you have Russian officials from Putin, Lavrov, and other Russian officials that are openly saying if certain lines are crossed, we will use these things. You know, we're telling you, y'all are okaying missile strikes on our territory. You shooting our dudes. Now you're talking about moving troops into the Ukraine and assembling NATO forces and so on and so forth. And we're telling you that if things get to a certain point, we will not hesitate to use our. We're not going to let you destroy our country. We're not going to let you overthrow our government. We'll launch nukes before we allow that to happen. They follow this up by saying, I mean, we're not at that point yet. We're not saying we've got our hand hovering on the button. Right the other day, Putin said, look, we're not sitting here with our finger on the button. Nobody wants to do that. But we are saying, because the West, which means the U.S., has made it clear that their goal is to topple the Russian government and to put a puppet state in. They want to do a Kiev on Moscow. You know, they want to do a 2014 Kiev. They want to do the same thing in Moscow. And they're saying, we're not going to let you do that. And being as that appears to be your end goal, if it comes to that, we'll launch nukes and that'll be the end of it. Now, the reaction of these people in Washington, D.C., is sit there and hand wave that. Oh, he doesn't mean that. I saw a story the other day and some journalist asked some government asshole, you know, about these things. And they hand waved it off. They said, oh, Russia always says that. Oh, they're always threatening to do something. They don't mean it. Well, how do they know they don't mean it? Well, they assume they don't mean it. They don't know that they don't mean it. They assume they don't mean it because these people themselves never mean anything that they say. So they assume that when someone else, be it Putin, Lavrov, or whoever, comes out and says these things, that they don't mean it. See, it's that projection again. They say, well, we don't mean anything. You look at the way they deal with China. Oh, we honor the one China principle, but we're also turning around and sending weapons and instructors to Taiwan. Oh, but we totally honor the one China principle. They talk out of both sides of their mouths because they don't mean anything they actually say. Again, the problem here is they assume nobody else means what they say either. When the Russians say, if it comes to this, we'll nuke your cities. They don't mean that. That's a bunch of crazy talk. They wouldn't dare take us on. Everybody knows America is the most powerful nation on the world, the most powerful military on the world. They wouldn't dare want to face a screaming eagle. Now, I am of the opinion that the U.S. military, the mighty U.S. military, and I don't mean to minimize it, but I look at these things as they are today. Dr. Johnson has done several shows where he's gotten into this. But I look at the military today, and honestly, the military in the last, say, 80 years or so, and I'm of the opinion that the U.S. military is, in a lot of ways, just carrying on with momentum and reputation. You know, they put out the narrative, and they have the reputation, and they're running on that. You know, it's kind of like somebody that's a big bad dude in town, but nobody's actually, you know, see anything to back that up, but everybody's just afraid of him because of the rumors. But nobody, you know, has really got into it and to test him out, see where he is today. He might have been bad 20 years ago, but he's looking a little long in the tooth right now. You think about, you know, the U.S. military. I mean, even going to World War, because they always point to World War II. And at that time, it's a whole different thing. Because at that time, the U.S. was an industrial manufacturing powerhouse. The U.S. was basically what China is today. But the U.S. isn't that anymore. But they're still running on that reputation. Like, they could flip a switch today and return to that level of manufacturing, of production. And that's not possible. But even during World War II, there's this fairy tale that Americans believe, you know, America. You ask the average American, who won World War II? Who did the bulk of the work in World War II? And I can guarantee probably 9 out of 10 of your average Americans is going to say, well, America carried the weight. If America hadn't gotten involved in World War II, the whole rest of the world would be speaking German and Japanese today. And that's not the case. The European front, the European theater of the Second World War was primarily fought and won by the Red Army. That's a reality. The U.S. spent the bulk of World War II fighting what amounts to the tiny island nation of Japan, because it's not even that big. And it took them 4 or 5 years to whip Japan. You know, the European theater, most of that fighting, that heavy lifting was carried by the Soviet Union. Again, it's fact and reality. But they have this, no, America won the war. We'd all be speaking German if it wasn't for America. And again, that's just not the case. It's just reputation. But people believe that. And then, again, America is still a manufacturing powerhouse. And a few short years later, they get involved in the Korean conflict. At the end of the day, they were forced to just settle for a truce. Because the Chinese got involved, and the Chinese were fighting with antique weapons and very primitive conditions and no air force, no air cover at all. We talk about, you know, how the Ukrainians today don't have a chance on the front, because one of the reasons is they do not have any sort of air superiority, anything close to that. They could maybe put a few planes up. I think they'd have to launch them from Poland or whatever, but they don't have any air superiority. And this is true. But at the same time, China had zero air force at the time to speak of. Towards the end, they were able to put up a few planes, a few MiGs that they got from the Soviet Union. But they had no air force at all for the bulk of that conflict, and they were still able to fight the U.S. to a truce. Then, of course, Vietnam and so on and so forth. And because of this, I believe the U.S. military is by and large running on reputation. Running on reputation, and I think a lot of it is a bluff. And I have to believe that if I know this, obviously world leaders know this. Chairman Xi knows this. President Putin knows this. But at the end of the day, war isn't good for anybody. You know, no, these people that act like this is some sort of game, war does not benefit the people. You know, the people suffer for war. The regular people are the ones who suffer the most in a war, and it isn't beneficial. I hate it when I see people, primarily Americans, mouthing off on the internet. We'll go kick. We. I always love when they say that. We'll go kick some ass. I tell you what, if the Russians want it, we'll bring it. We. You can bet it's probably some guy 60 years old. That's about, you know, at least 50 plus pounds overweight, sitting there sweating on his computer talking shit about we. These are the same people that when they watch their sports ball game, they talk about we got it done. We won the game, as if they were out there, you know, throwing the football around. We did it. Americans have this idea that this is a game. Other people understand that it's not. And whether even, you know, even... If you have a war, if you have a actual war, even the side that wins loses, you know, to a certain extent. They may not lose as much as someone else. America, quote unquote, won the Second World War. If you could go back in time immediately after the war and talk to the families of any of the thousands that didn't come home from that war, I'm sure they weren't exactly feeling like they won a whole lot. Because they suffered the loss. That asshole Roosevelt didn't suffer any loss, but they suffered this loss. Now, again, I do. I believe the U.S. and its military reputation is by and large running on bluff and reputation. As I said before, Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson here at Radio Albion has done several lectures on the actual state. I'm not going to get into it, but you know how much they have all these aircraft, but only a certain percent of them are even able to fly because they don't have any parts. They don't have the ability. And in a lot of these cases, they're running really, really old equipment. Everybody, the F-35, this F-35 jet is a meme. It is supposed to be the do-all. This is going to replace these old jets that were built back in the 80s. That were actually reliable because at that time the government still had, you know, these contractors, the military industrial complex and what all, they still had competent people working on these things. So they came out with very competent designs that are still being flown today. And they still make up the backbone of the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. air capability, are these old jets. The F-35 was going to be the update. It's time to update. We got to have something new. The only problem is damn thing doesn't work. I mean, it technically works, but it has so many problems. it doesn't do anything very well, that they nobody really feels as though they can rely on this thing. So at the end of the day, they're forced to rely on these old ones. They're forced to rely on the old equipment. Meanwhile, Russia and China are continually working on their upgrades, which do work. You know, they do. At the end of the day, real-world comparisons, people who are being serious and doing real-world comparisons between, say, Chinese fighter jets or American fighter jets and or Russian fighter jets, they wind up comparing Russia and China's jets to, like, F-16s or something, because everybody knows F-35 on paper might be something good, but the thing is so unreliable, so high-cost maintenance, and such a problem. And nobody really thinks it's going to be the pivoted thing. They're going to have to rely on this old equipment, which brings us back to our story today and all of this nuclear saber rattling. The story comes from RT, and the headline is U.S. tests nuclear missiles. Two Minuteman III ICBMs were launched as part of a quote-unquote routine exercise. The American military has announced it carried out two tests of intercontinental ballistic missiles, ICBMs, over the past 3 days, describing the launches as routine and unrelated to world events. Well, we know they are very much related to world events. As we're going to get into in this story, every time they do a quote-unquote test launch of these Minuteman IIIs, they're depleting inventory. They aren't building new ones and setting them off to test them to see how they work. They're actually dragging out these old missiles and launching them, which means they have one fewer. Now, I have no idea how many of these they actually have in stock. I'm sure that's classified information. But understand, when they say they're testing these missiles, they're not pulling them off the assembly line and let's make sure this is like quality control. We're going to pull every fifth one off the assembly line, set it off, make sure everything's working right. It's not what they're talking about. They're dragging these antiques out of the inventory and setting them off. And of course, they're doing this because of the situation in the world today. Of course they are. What they're doing is trying to send a message. Russia's doing tactical nuclear drills, so now the U.S. has to one-up it. And again, it should be very alarming to everybody, the fact that we're even having, this is even in the realm of conversation at all. The story continues. Two Minuteman III missiles were launched from Vandenberg Space Force. I just laugh about that every time it comes up. Space Force, the Space Force. It is just like everything in this country has some sort of fake and gay thing, some fake and gay element to it. We don't, it's not enough. You know, I know how powerful America is, buddy. We don't even know if we have an Air Force. We even have a Space Force. I did a funny Friday show here a while back. I hope y'all caught it. If you didn't, y'all listen to it. It is funny, you know, and it is about the Space Force. I think I called it Space Force. And his Republican congressman, which looks in the picture exactly like we would imagine the quintessential American politician looking, was going on about the Space Force. And now we're going to have a moon base with the Space Force by 2030. They ain't going to have that bridge that collapsed up north. They ain't going to have that fixed by 2030. I guarantee you. Let's see here. Two Minuteman missiles were launched from Vandenberg Air Force. I'm sorry, I said Air Force because that's what it used to be. Now it's Space Force. Space Force based in California on Tuesday and Thursday, the Pentagon said. They were armed with dummy reentry vehicles instead of the nuclear warheads that they would normally carry. Well, that's a relief. With the way things go in this country, and the level of incompetence is growing, I'm surprised somebody didn't screw up and forget to take the nuke off. Forget. We put the wrong warhead on it. Oops. Sorry. This test launch is part of routine and periodic activities intended to demonstrate that the U.S. nuclear deterrent is safe, secure, reliable, and effective to deter 21st century threats and reassure our allies, the Air Force Global Strike Command said about Tuesday's launch. There have been over 300 tests of this kind so far, the Pentagon noted. It said that this week's launches were, quote, not the result of current world events, which, of course, we know they are. That's why it's in the news. It's like you start from this position that you know they're lying. I mean, like everything they say, if you didn't have the ability to parse any of this or look at it from different angles, you were fairly simple-minded. All you'd have to do is simply go from whatever the government says, the opposite is the truth, and then try to work your way back from there. Because they always start off with lies. This has nothing to do with current global events, but of course everybody knows it does. Russia began a series of tactical nuclear exercises in one of its military districts last month in what the Kremlin called a response to unprecedented Western escalation of the Ukraine conflict. Since then, Ukraine has allegedly targeted two of Russia's early warning radars, raising the possibility of a nuclear exchange. Because attacking the early warning radar sites is tantamount of a practice drill of if you're launching your nukes. If you were going to launch your nukes, you would take out these sites first so they couldn't see them coming. Again, it's alarming that we're having these discussions while they hand wave off and say, oh, no, it's all fine. Do you look at Jake Sullivan, that John Kirby guy? Do you look at any of these people and when they hand wave off and say, the fact that we're having this conversation about nuclear weapons, it's nothing to worry about. Trust us, we're on the ball. We're on the job. We know what we're doing. Because strictly from a competent standpoint, I don't have much faith that they know what they're doing. The U.S. Air Force and Space Force worked together on the Vandenberg tests, which saw the dummy warheads fly approximately 4,200 miles before splashing down at a site on Kwajalein Atoll in the Marshall Islands. There is no official statement on whether the tests were successful. One has to wonder, since they're not saying whether or not the test was successful, one has to assume there might have been some problems. And we're going to get into why that might be here in a minute. But if it was successful, you would think they would come out and say it was successful. The fact that they're not saying anything kind of makes you scratch your head. While the U.S. military has insisted that its atomic deterrent is safe, secure, reliable, and effective, you notice, I have to stop there for a minute. I found it humorous that they're using the exact same language that they used with the vaccine, you know? And we know how truthful those statements were. I mean, that's starting to be talked about now out in the mainstream. People who are skeptical about these, just a few short years ago. People that were like, yeah, I don't think these things are safe, effective, or anything such as that on the vaccines. People are like, oh, you're a nutty conspiracy theorist. And now they're quietly starting to go, well, you know, all these heart attacks and stuff, they could actually be caused by the vaccine. Maybe they're not that safe and effective. It's amazing to me that they use the exact same language here talking about their intercontinental ballistic missiles. They're safe and effective. They're safe and effective. While the U.S. military has insisted that its atomic deterrent is safe, secure, reliable, and effective, just like the vaccine was, there have been growing concerns in Washington about the ground-based leg of the nuclear triad. A November 2023 test failed because the missile had developed an anomaly and had to be destroyed after launch. Minuteman III missiles first became operational in the 1970s. I have to stop. This is what I mean about past reputation. I was talking about they're using these missiles that were built in the early 70s. These things are 50 years old. I mean, let's be real here. If you showed up and somebody said, you know, I've got a 1972 model car here that's been sitting here in the garage. No miles on, it's been sitting in the garage. What do you say? We drain the old gas out of it, put some fresh gas in it, hop in that bad boy, and why don't you drive that thing across the wilderness up to Alaska? Would you be very confident in taking a road trip at a 50-year-old car that's been sitting around in a garage somewhere? You're going to dust it off, pour some gas in it, pump the pedal once and a half, kick it on, and you're going to take off on a road trip and hope the thing holds together. Are you going to be comfortable doing that? 50-year-old missiles. It gets better. Stay with me, people. It gets better. There's still around 400 of them in silos across 5 U.S. states 50 years later because Washington has yet to replace them. Well, that's strange. Surely, I mean, they spend billions of dollars on nothing but military stuff. Surely they have a plan to replace them. Why, yes, they do. You see, they got a new system they're working on, the Sentinel. The Sentinel is going to replace these old Minutemans. Let's read a little bit about the Sentinel. The Sentinel program is shock of shocks, behind schedule, and over budget, just like every other damn thing they do. None of these weapons, and this is really one of the things that's come out of this Ukraine conflict, is these American Wunderwaffen, these American wonder weapons. It's really become evident that they're not very good. They're just designed to be expensive. You have these weapons that have been developed over the years, and their true purpose was to be very expensive and look really good on a video and on paper. They're not designed to win war. They're designed to make money. And then you run into a problem. Because now, this thing, it, like everything else they do, it's over budget. It's behind schedule because everybody's busy lining their pockets. They're not really serious about this because they're assuming nobody else is serious about it. With the first test flight is not expected of the Sentinel until February of 2026, according to the Air Force. Stick with me. It continues to get better. In 2021, the head of the U.S. Strategic Command lamented that the service life of the Minuteman III cannot be extended much longer. They're driving around in 50-year-old cars. And they got these 50-year-old missiles. And they're extending their service life. This is what he said. That thing is so old that in some cases, the drawings don't exist anymore because everything was done on computer, on a draft board. Everything's computerized now. Nobody even knows where the drawings are. They're off, I don't know, in a vault somewhere, buried under 16 million tons of other government paperwork. Admiral Charles Richards said at the time, the drawings that do exist are, quote, like 6 generations behind the industry standard, while the technicians who can fully understand them are not alive anymore. We don't have, the U.S. does not have the human capital anymore. Let that sink in. The technicians, the people, you can't replace the people. The technicians, the people who can fully understand them, they're not alive anymore. In other words, the people who designed them, built them, can look at the drawing and say, let me explain how this works. Because you got to understand how it works if you're going to work on it, maintain it, and fix it. That means they're flying blind. I've got these people doing quote-unquote maintenance on it, but they're just following a piece of paper that says this is what we've always done. Like if the guys that understood these things were still around, they'd say, well, yeah, but it's been so long, you're going to have to go in and look at these circuits over here and make sure they haven't corroded or whatnot. Those guys aren't even alive anymore because these things are so old. And the final line from this article, which it's kind of the money shot and just here you go. These things we already know, they're old. They're probably not being maintained anymore, properly anymore. They're doing, basic level maintenance, but the things are so old, they probably need more maintenance. But as has been admitted here by the government's own officials, the people that really understand these things and how they were designed and worked, they're not around anymore. So you got these other guys that really don't have a clue that are just basically changing the oil in the car. But if the timing needs adjustment, they don't have any idea. If you went into your new car dealership mechanic, service bay and said, who's your top mechanic here? And they bring this guy out carrying a scan tool in his hand. What can I help you with? What you need? He says, I got this old car, this 50-year-old car here, and I need you to set the points on it in the ignition. It's got the old points ignition. I need you to go ahead and put a new set of points, set the points, and go ahead and adjust the timing for me. That guy is going to look at you with a blank stare. follow it up with it has a standard transmission and they're going to throw you out. They have no idea what to do with it. That's where you're at. Ain't nobody there knows how to set the points because that's what they were still running back when these were built. They were still running points ignition in cars. Let that sink in. They're using missiles that were built and developed and designed at a technological level when we were still running contact points for the ignition system in cars. Let that sink in. And this is their safe and effective nuclear deterrent. These people maintaining it, yeah, they can change the oil in it. But if the guys that designed them, if they were still around, they would probably tell them, look, you're going to have to go in there and redo this. This it was never designed to hang around this long. Somebody's got to maintain these things. They're going to have to get somebody competent. They're going to have to figure out some way because, you know, again, their new missile, as usual, it's just designed to cost a lot of money and to milk it as long as they can. So the politicians, the military industrial complex, a lot of everybody can go ahead and just line their pockets, including the bankers who are lending the money to build the new missiles. Everybody's busy lining their pockets. Nothing's getting done. Somebody's going to have to be able to maintain these, but the government's on this. We're going to have our final line and try not to laugh too bad. Earlier this year, the Pentagon awarded a $405 million contract for the maintenance and service of Minuteman III missiles to Boeing. Because right now, Boeing has a excellent, excellent track record as far as maintenance, don't they? The people who have doors flying off their airplanes, engines lighting off, panels flying off the wings and whatnot, they can't keep jets flying really with confidence. I can't say they can't do it because the jets are obviously they are flying. But they're having all of these problems. And when this is a run-of-the-mill thing, these are the same. Boeing, these are the same guys. The same guys that are having difficulty or having all of these maintenance issues with jets that they do have the designs for. Now, these are the guys that just got $405 million to maintain and keep the Minutemans that are 50 years old operational. Boeing. Be lucky if these, all they'd have to do, I'm sitting here, I read this story, and you don't want to joke about it because it's a serious thing, but I joke about it anyway because you got to laugh. Like, all they could do, all they should have to do is like, not like Russia would have to do is like fake out, you know, not actually launch a nuclear weapon, just kind of fake them out. Because if somebody at the U.S. jumped up and hit the red button, half of these missiles would probably detonate in the silos. They'd just fall apart. Nuke their own city. They'd be flying towards Russia, and when they got over like New York, the warhead would fall off like the doors coming off the planes and drop on New York City, and there you'll go. We just nuke ourselves, which, though tragic, it would kind of, if you weren't the one getting nuked, you would have to admit that it is kind of funny. We're gonna wrap up on that note. I tell you, this is just a train wreck. One after the other. We could put Boeing. I can just imagine how well this could all turn out. We'll wrap up on that note. I hope you enjoy your work week. I know it's a work week. Hope you get a chance to check out all our great content. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. Dr. Matthew Ruffield Johnson will be here Wednesday with Orthodox Nationalists. He'll be back on Thursday with his geopolitical-focused Daily Nationalist show. And I plan to be back here on Friday. Wrap up your week with the Funny Fridays installment. This came out pretty fun. I could have used this on Funny Fridays. But Funny Fridays, wrap up your work week with Funny with Work. And I'll be able to talk by the end of your work week with Funny Fridays. I hope you have a great week. As always, keep the faith. And we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.